Now, Father, we pray that your Spirit will bless us as we study your word and that you'll draw us even closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're standing, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to continue our study on the Ten Commandments this morning, beginning the first commandment on tablet number 2 that Moses had. This is the first commandment dealing with man's relationship with man and how God would have us get along with one another. Honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord has given to you. I'd like you to read that out loud with me. Verse 12, Exodus chapter 20. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives to you. John Luke, are you here? Would you read just the final six? You got a Bible? You need a Bible? Okay, just the final six, not all 10. Now, John Luke's going to read to us this commandment and the next 5 that follow right below, and you can follow us, okay?
Okay, it's final 6. Sois obéissant à ton père et ta mère. Tu ne tueras pas, tu ne commettras pas d'adultère, tu ne voleras pas, tu ne mentiras pas contre ton prochain, et tu ne désireras pas les biens de ton prochain, sa maison, sa femme, ses servants et ses animaux.
Are you already there?
That's it?
That was French.
It's the short version.
That's the short version. The French are short on their versions. Doesn't it sound beautiful and poetic? Read the mother and father one again. Pater.
Sois obéissant à ton père et ta mère.
Oui, oui. But how could the Ten Commandments sound mean and angry when you hear it in French, huh? But in English, when we hear, thou shalt not, you always see the preacher with the hanky wiping the sweat. You sinner! Thou shalt not! You know, and when you hear it in that language, you realize these aren't condemning commandments. These are commandments to help us live great lives. So why don't you turn around and say hello to the 4 weirdest looking people you've ever seen in San Diego, and we'll take a look at this verse. Okay? All right? A little less bass. A little less bass. Now that makes you, now you know how you feel, or how you look in other people's eyes when you get that, huh? Honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Turn to Ephesians 6. We'll come back to this verse. But Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3, Paul the Apostle now takes this commandment, puts it into first century language, and uses his tremendous intellect as a Hebrew scholar and a Pharisee, knowing the commandments, now put it in New Testament language so that people could understand the importance of society being touched by the family. Here's what Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So there's the New Testament version from Paul the Apostle to the Christian church that we would understand that still this is a very, very important tenet from the Lord. Now, it's really important to you to understand, if you haven't joined us, that this is a group of over 2 million people that have been wandering through the wilderness, and they are now going to go into the promised land, Canaan land, where present-day Israel is. Cross over the Jordan just east of Jericho and come from what is present-day the country of Jordan, and then start their war campaigns and take over the whole land and reside there. However, they have no social structure. They've known each other as families and as clans. Moses has divided them up into groups. As we look at the next chapters, you will see that the tabernacle is the focus of the whole nation, is where God would come and meet with Moses and Aaron. And from there, everyone would get God's blessings. But the whole core to the first 4 commandments was on tablet number 1. That was how you should worship God, how you should get along with God and be pleasing in God's eyes. Tablet number 2 was how you should live with your fellow man. And this would be the structure of government and law for these people to now form an infrastructure for their nation. And it'll be based on these Ten Commandments. And so important for us to know that it was the core was loving God and loving your neighbor. But the central commandment out of the ten is found right here in the fifth commandment, where we see that mother and father and child are the center of the country, of the nation. That the family is sacred and the family is holy. It wasn't lesbians or two men. It was a woman and a man and their children. That's God's word. No matter how politically correct you try to be, you cannot change God's word. However, there are a couple of bills going up right now in California that you may want to be well aware of. There's the AB 1001, the tax-funded investigations and fines against citizens who oppose homosexuality. It awards official minority status to homosexuality and bisexuality, putting sexual orientation on the same level as race and ethnicity in the powerful Fair Employment and Housing Act, and that means that tax-funded investigations and $25,000 fines against property owners, business owners, Bible bookstores, religious radio stations, and even some churches that oppose homosexuality. And there's AB 222 that is homosexual curriculum starting in kindergarten through 12th grade, finding the schools that won't do it, taking Christian schools and religious schools, being banned from California interscholastic sports leagues, students at religious colleges being prohibited from state funds, and SB 1260 would require homosexual curriculum to be taught to school children as young as kindergarten, including mandated training sessions on homophobia. Well, that isn't what God intended. That isn't what he intended at all. He intended his word to be supreme. And if you were the devil, what you'd want to attack is his word. So you'd attack the first two tenets that God is supreme, the first four tenets that God is supreme. And then once you got people worshiping other gods, then you would attack the next six. And starting at the number one hit list would be attack the family. And so where would you start? The devil is always doing the opposite of what God wants us to do. And if God doesn't want us to do something, the devil is going to get you to do it. Anything to defame the Lord. So he says, honor your mother and father. So you see Bart Simpson not honoring his mother and father. You see the situation comedies of the family being dysfunctional in America on television, and it's not an honoring of the mother and father. In fact, it's so sick that all these programs that are on primetime, and you'll have to take note that there are many primetime family situation cartoon programs. Because the mentality of America has slipped below the average 13-year-old, that all advertising is geared towards the 13-year-old mindset. It's now getting preteen because the intellect of America has declined so much. That's sad. That's really sad. But this verse tells us that we will have a great nation if we do something that God asks us to do, starting with the family. Hold the family up. The family is so very important in God's eyes. That's where all the blessings would flow from. Honor your father and mother. The only commandment that promises you longevity. There was no problem with juvenile delinquents in Moses' day. The law went on to say that if a son or a daughter were to back sass their mom or dad or take a swipe at them or throw a stone at them or hit them, they were taken outside the gates of the city and the elders of the city stoned them to death. Now the kids are going out and just getting stoned. And that's just the opposite of what God had planned. Honor your father and mother. This word honor you may want to circle in your Bible. It's found 136 times throughout the Bible, the King James Bible. But the basic meaning is, quote, to be heavy or weighty. To be heavy or to be weighty. A meaning which is only rarely used literally. Figuratively, it is used like in this term, God chose it very well, being more common. From this figurative use, it's an easy step to see a weighty or a heavy person in society. A person with a lot of clout. A person that deserves respect. A person that you should honor. So this word really means heavy or weighty. And this person is a heavy person. That's heavy, man. That's a heavy person. Not just in weight, but because of the authority that they carry. So God chose his word very particularly for Moses to read to the people after he wrote it with his finger in their language, that a father and a mother carries heavy weight in the community and they deserve tremendous respect, and that being a father was an honor, not something you run away from and you don't pay your child support and you don't treat your wife right and you don't treat your children right. Being a mother was a tremendous honor and a tremendous privilege. King Solomon told us in the Proverbs that children are a heritage of the Lord. They belong to the Lord. They don't belong to the mom and dad. Mom and dad really are custodians. Our responsibility is to raise the children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it's God's child that's going to be received into heaven. And as mommies and daddies, we will be judged by the Lord of how we presented these children to Him. So it's very important for us to see that this word honor is a very, very important one. A weighty person in society. Someone who is honorable, impressive, worthy of respect. And it is more prevalent in the scriptures used in this text than it is in the other text, meaning heavy in weight or weighty in weight. Now it's interesting to note the word mother and the word father. The word mother is found 226 different times in the King James Bible. And the word always, except one time in the scripture, means mother. In most occurrences, literally referring to female parent. It's used many times in a figurative figure of speech. Say like, who is that guy? We never hear of him anymore, do we? The guy over in Iraq. Saddam Hussein. This is the mother of all wars. You know, so figure of speech. Mother of this, the mother of inventions, the mother of da-da-da. But it was basically always referring to a female woman that was the mother of an offspring. But dig this. The Hebrew word is M. E-M. Remember Auntie M? Yeah, that's it. That's where it came from. E-M. One of the smallest words in the Hebrew language is for mom. So nobody would miss it. Mom. She's important. It's very simple. M. Now, if you look up father, you'll find out that father is found 800 and... How many times is father found? Father is actually found more times than mother. It's found 852 locations in the King James Bible. But interestingly enough, in the Hebrew Bible, the word father is found 1,151 different times. But father is the word ab, A-B, in the Hebrew language. It is the first word in the Hebrew dictionary. If you look under the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance in the Hebrew dictionary, you'll find the very first word in their language is father. Amazing that it was worded that way, huh? And again, two letters, A and B, ab, M, abem, mom, dad, mother, father. God kept it very simple, but very profound. Now, in the Greek language, the word was Abba. Jesus Christ said that you are adopted heirs to the throne of God, whereby now you can cry out with the spirit of adoption, Abba, Father, A, B, B, A. The Ba was added in the Greek language. So Abba, Father, one of the most loving, respectful, but still a very casual and relaxed relationship to cry out Abba, Daddy. It's our word, Daddy. Now that doesn't degrade God the Father at all by you calling Him Daddy. What it does for you is shows you how personal God really is for you. That you have a spirit of adoption that you can cry out, Abba Father, Jesus said. Meaning, Daddy, Daddy. Like a little girl or a little boy reaching their arms out with joy and happiness to their father who loves them and respects them. So these two words, Father, Ab, Mother, M. What's the father's word? Ab. Mother's word? M. You all get gold stars by your name. I'll tell your teacher when you leave the room here. Okay, so here's these two simplest of words in the entire language for the Hebrew Jewish people to know or to understand. And God is going to let them always remember how profound a mother and a father is. This will be His foundation now. You're going to love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And because of that, I'm going to bless the nation of Israel. I will make your enemies flee from you. I will make you wealthy. You will have great health. You will go into a land where it's flowing with milk and honey. You'll have wells that you didn't dig, houses you didn't build. You'll have orchards and vineyards you didn't plant. And your armies will be strong and mighty. And the wealth of the world will come to you. But you must honor Ab and Em. You must give great heavy weight to Ab and Em. Full respect to Ab and Em is the pivotal point for your country now to function. You've got your religious God figure. You've got the idea in your mind. We have a God over us, and He's not the God of Molech who aborts children. He's not the God, goddess Ashtoreth, who is sex and perversion. This is the living God who created heaven and earth. And now He is asking us to let Him be a part of our lives, but have the freedom to live our lives as we saw that we'd have a Sabbath day. That God is just saying, take a time to love me and to recharge your batteries and refuel yourself. But now let's move on. You're going to have a family. And as you have this family, it'll be based on honor and respect. And the father, we're told, the husband is the head of the household, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. And the wife is subservient in a sense of respecting and to submit and be submissive to her husband. But Christ is the head of the man, God the head of Christ, and the children will honor mother and father. It's so very important that this is where a society will fall apart or it will be built up. Now listen to this. In studying the context and senses of the very first text which relate to the duties of the mother, we can find four or five things that was expected of the mother. Isaiah 66:13 told us that mother should be a source of comfort. In fact, the prophet spoke, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Think as a little child of skinning your knee, falling off the bicycle. Did you ever run to dad? No, you always ran to mom. Mom has a way about her. I don't know if it's because she smells like the biscuits she's making or the cookies or, you know, the clean laundry soap on her hands from whatever it is. But moms are a comfort, a great comfort. My mother was a single working mother and there wasn't a father in the home for me or a husband for her. And she worked hard. My mother today at 85 is still a hard-working woman and has a great work ethic. And I would see her come home tired, worn out, and I would just respect her because I knew even as a boy that she was working hard to keep some food on the table for us. And how important it is for us to realize that mom does have responsibilities, but there is something about a mom. A mom has a great gift to comfort. I can remember at a Boy Scout meeting one time, I was walking on a wall outside the elementary school, and I slipped and fell and I hit my head, and my head was hurting so much. And when I got home, my mom put me in her lap and just started massaging my forehead. I can remember that years later. She brought comfort to me. When I went through heartache in high school, she would try to give me comfort in kind words and say, "Listen, you're going to make it through this. This is going to be okay." And I could always remember that I was always a show-off in the sports for her, too. I can remember one time I was the right halfback, and we just made a touchdown, and I was going to carry the ball for the extra point. She was sitting in the stands, and I turned around and waved at her and pointed at me. Every one of the defense came over to the slot I was going through and got me. But you know, it was about 5 years ago, it dawned on me, when I was in wrestling, and on the wrestling team in high school, and I was getting pinned and I was on my back, I'd look over and there was mom right there sitting in the bleachers. And I remember intercepting a pass out in the football field and I'd look up in the bleachers and there's mom. Or I'd be running track and hand off the baton and I'd look up in the bleachers and there was mom. But mom had a full-time job. And this only dawned on me 5 years ago. What did she have to do at work to sacrifice to get away? What would my life have been? It took me this long to remember that she made a sacrifice to just be sitting in every game that I played in and my brother. She was always there. She was always there. And that brought comfort. And I imagine now if I look back, the image of both parents not caring what I was doing could have been even more devastating to a young person's life. And maybe you have been raised in a situation where your life has been devastated because of the lack of Ab and Em. So we have to be sensitive to that. Some of you, your parents molested you. They beat you. They slapped you. They pushed you. They said mean, horrible things to you. They treated you rotten. They never loved you. They never cared for you. And now you're an adult and you're trying to cope with all that in your past, but still carry on as if you're a full-fledged adult in an adult's body doing an adult's job at the office you work at. But inside, you have this hurt and this pain still. How do you honor this type of a mother and a father? See, how do I honor my father, who's an alcoholic, he's a gambler, he was a wife beater, he was self-centered, he never supported his children, he never encouraged his kids, he never went to any sports activities, never showed up at any school events, he was a stranger to them. But yet, I must honor the role of father. And now I look back in my life and I say, what if I had a cush job? What if I had a dad and one that did everything correctly for me? You know what? Who I am, probably I'd never have given my time to help anybody. And God knew that with a lot of pain in my particular life, that when the time came right, that he could use me because I could understand your problems when you came to talk to me. And I do. I talk to some pastors that have had such great lives and perfect educations and everything's been fine and they make a lot of money being the pastor and they have all these benefits and everything's just cushy, just like they're raised, but they don't have any time for the people. And I try to say, well, isn't the ministry about people? It's not about our time or our cush job or something. And sometimes Special people have to have special pain in their life. And probably one of the deepest pains that you and I have ever had has come from Ab and Em. And God will use that. So we know this, that the Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword, quicker and more powerful, meaning both sides cut. It cuts when it goes in, it cuts when it goes out. I'm to honor my father, but yet my father was a loser. Now, before he died, I got to know him the last 7 or 8 years of his life a little bit, and we'd talk on the phone, and I'd go visit him, and I prayed with him 2 different times the day before he died, and like 2, 3 years before that, and just reassuring that he was going to go to heaven. And he couldn't get over the fact that he was 80-something, and he had all these diseases now from his drinking, and was drinking up till his 83rd year, you know. How could God forgive him of all this selfishness and self-centeredness? And he'd cry. I don't know how God could do that, but God does that. So I must honor his role, though he wasn't a strong father. I must honor that God has this in the Word of God, and it's a two-edged sword. It works both ways. Now, if I honor my mother and father, I realize I get a reward. Now, I'd think a lot of money, an inheritance? No, I get to live. If I don't honor them, I die young. Now, I had a teacher just come to me and show me Proverbs 30, verse 17. It says that if a child mocks his mother or his father, they shall die an early death and their eyes shall be plucked out. And he taught high school, and there was a young woman in Washington where he is from who was just a rebel against her mother and father and was one of his students and always was mocking her parents. And she was murdered and found in a field. And he says, I finally really realized this morning how that works. That the first thing that the wild birds will do to a body is pluck out the eyeballs. And this young woman was a mocker of her parents, and that's how she died. See, God's word is a two-edged sword. It goes in, it comes out, it cuts on the top and the bottom. Both sides of that blade is very, very sharp and very powerful. So we realize this is a very special verse because it gives this promise. Now we know that in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 3, the third thing about a mother is that she is a discipliner. The mother should be a comforter. She should be a teacher. Proverbs 31:1 tells us the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So the mother is a source of comfort. The mother is a teacher. The mother is a discipliner. And we also note that her children owe her something. We owe our mother something, boys and girls. And these obligations may be defined as positive duties or negative duties. And on the positive side, we're told from Genesis chapter 28, verse 7, that her children owe her obedience. We owe our mothers obedience. We are told that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother. In Proverbs chapter 30, turn there if you would please to verse 11. And we realize that our mothers deserve and are owed blessings. That we are a source of blessing to our mothers. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curses their mother and does not, their father, and does not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. There is a generation, and it sure sounds like today's generation. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. So we know that one of our obligations is to bless our mother. Now we also know from Exodus 20 verse 12 that we have an obligation to honor our mother. So we bless our mother, we are obedient to our mothers, and then in Leviticus 19:3 we are told that we should fear our mothers, respect, awesomely respect our mothers. It says in that verse, you shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths because I am the Lord your God. In Psalm 35, if you want to look at that verse, we're told this is part of our obligation to our mother. In verse 14, it tells us that we should mourn when our mothers die. We should mourn when our mothers die. What's sad in our generation is People are bitter when their mothers die because there is no closure on issues from the childhood and the teen years. We should mourn when our mothers die. It should devastate our hearts. One of the things that happens when a mother dies and then the father dies, no matter how old you are, you realize the finality of life, and that part of your life is gone forever, and now you carry on the family name. And it's a little bit traumatic and scary. And we can see in counseling, as my generation now is aging and our parents are going off to heaven, that it is getting very traumatic, and the baby boomers are not wanting to face this part of life. Because they were latchkey kids, and they were selfish kids that have every BMW and every trick watch and trick stereo and DVD player and computer and anything that they want, they've given to themselves. But as they're aging, they're realizing the trauma of this. This is a healing verse, ladies and gentlemen. Psalm 35, verse 14. I behave myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bow down heavily as one that mourns for his mother. Look at the play in words. I bow down heavily. There's that word. Honor. Weighty, heavy. The next step from it is the figure of speech. This is a weighty person in society. I gave honor as I bowed down as a person whose mother has died. So we see we have obligations to mom. Now, father found 852 times in the King James Bible, is found 1,151 times in the Hebrew Bible, is a very important role. But if you and I have fallen to the devil's tactics, and we don't like our moms, we don't like our dads, we hate our dads, we can get along with our moms, we're bitter against our parents, then we're going to go through life with confusion. And if we dishonor them, we will probably die early deaths. Because if we can't do the A, B, C's, we're not going to end up doing the X, Y, Z's. And one of the very first things in the commandments is honor your parents. Why? Because God says so. And this is what will strengthen society. I read this article the other day, and this little quote I thought applied here quite well. If you want to just take a moment and listen, I'll read it word for word. When I was a small boy growing up in Pennsylvania, we would often visit my grandparents who lived 9 miles away. One night, a thick fog settled over the hilly countryside before we started home. I remember being terrified and asking if we shouldn't be going even slower than we were. And Mother said gently, "Don't worry, your father knows the way." You see, Dad had walked that road when there was no gasoline during the war. He had ridden that blacktop on his bicycle to court Mother. And for years, he had made those weekly trips back to visit his own parents. How often, when I can't see the road of life, and I have felt that familiar panic rising in my heart, I have heard the echo of my mother's voice, "Don't worry, your father knows the way." Now, what a tragedy for those of us that are fatherless children. We didn't have a father to say, "This is the way, go in." We didn't have a dad there to say, "Now you're going to make it through this. This is some of the hardships that come as you grow up as a teenager." And that can put a chip on your shoulder. I had a chip for years about, I'm a fatherless guy. You want to fight about it? You want to talk? You want to poop? You want to go at it, buddy? You know, I'll hit you with the beer bottle. You hit me with one and we'll just have fun. I'll take your tooth. You take my tooth. You know, I'll blacken your eye. You blacken my eye. And it was a chip. It was a bitterness all the time. And God knew that if I didn't honor mother and father, I'd have this uptight attitude. Those of you that are professionals in business, you meet these people every day. They're the sharks of your business. They're the people that just clamp down and because they don't know how to balance life out. They're people that probably never honored their mother and father for whatever reason. They're the person that is ruthless in the real estate deal, ruthless in the negotiating table, ruthless in the boardroom, ruthless in dealing with people's lives and firing people and cutting the overhead and making more profit for the company. They're probably people that never learned to, "Mother, dear, could you accept my gracious, humble thanks for washing my underwear this week?" You know, that never grew up with the looking up, "Oh, he's in charge here. I'm not in charge." See, it's a dangerous thing when a parent lets a little child be in charge of the home. Extremely dangerous. Because the father is the head of the household and the mother. And that child, if she can't be brought or he can't be brought into submission in those first 5 years, they're going to have a horrible teenage time with that little kid. And if the child is ever swinging at the dad or cursing back at the mother, and they let that go on in the household, that child is not only going to ruin that family, but that child is going to ruin every place he goes and be a problem until somebody puts him down. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we are told that Paul taught the church, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." So this beautiful law, and if you remember Jean-Luc speaking it to you in French, you realize it's not a condemning, mean, angry thing. It's beautiful. This is the very first of human relationships. God has ordained the family. It is the purpose of God that the family be a loving, supportive environment in which children might be raised. How blessed are the children who have been raised in such an environment. It's an environment. The family isn't about egos. It isn't about pride. It's an environment where people can learn to grow in love. And I always felt when we used to live in Poway and the church had just started, and I was so busy all the time, and I loved in the morning that the bus stop was in front of our driveway, and that Sandy and I would always lay hands on all of the kids and pray for them as they went out the door. Then we always prayed for them at night, laid hands on each one individually and prayed for them as individuals, but we always had our evening devotions with our family. But it dawned on me one day as I patted them on the head and they went out to the driveway and the bus came, that what Sandy and I sent out of that front door went into society in Poway and impacted it. And what goes out of our front door every day from your condos and your apartments and your Winnebagos, wherever you live, what you take from your heart of what you had with God that morning is going to affect San Diego. And if you leave God out of your life and you're going out in the flesh, you're a target for the devil all day long. But you go out with God and you stand and you hear evilness, you don't buckle under the pressure. Say, well, I've got to be politically correct. You stand up for righteousness. Woe unto you when all men speak good of you. That's what politicians are lousy at. They're afraid people are going to speak bad about them and they won't get reelected. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. For so they spoke of the prophets before you. They were false prophets. And people love false prophets. They didn't want to hear guys telling the truth. Tell us what we want to hear. We'll never cause you trouble. We'll never speak bad about you. What an important thing for us to have an environment. This commandment presupposes, of course, that the fathers and mothers are fulfilling their God-given roles as godly parents. And the father is given most difficult responsibility because we're supposed to be the model of our Heavenly Father to our children, to be patient, long-suffering, forgiving, kind, gentle, loving. In Colossians 3:20, the Apostle Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And how, those of you that were raised with fathers, if a dad just says one harsh word, boy, that just sort of crushes you. I think I've shared this story before. When David was 7 years old, we have a big blown-up picture of him. He was in a little league team. And the coach was a type AAA battery kind of a guy, just high-energy dude. And I was sort of helping out on the team, not really doing much, but just there. And this guy was in charge of the whole world, so I let him do it. And his son got up, and here they are, seven-year-olds. And they would pitch the little ball to the kids, and they'd swing around, and they'd do all that. They couldn't hit a ball. And this dad, he had two strikes on him. And this dad yells in front of all the other players of both teams and the parents sitting in the bleachers, "If you don't hit this ball, you're not going on vacation this summer." That will be with that boy. I picked up a bat and I said, "Can I talk to you just a minute?" "Oh, excuse me, excuse me. Bless you, my child. I can't do that to you. That was my old nature wanting to talk to you." That will be that boy's life forever. That boy will never forget that. And seeing the personality of that man, you somewhat wonder, would he ever humble himself, say, "Son, listen, I got all upset and I'm sorry. You know, sometimes I try to be a kid again and I can't. I'm living it through you. And could you see him doing that?" I couldn't see him doing that, but that could maybe heal it, because then the kid would say, "Dad said he was sorry, Mom." Now, where does a kid go when Dad has wounded him? He runs to Mom. And in most family situations, the kids always run to mom and not to dad. Usually, dad, we're the last to hear it. And not because we don't want to be the last to hear it, but there's an awesomeness of responsibility and authority that God gives to dad. I had such a shock when I met Sandy's father because I didn't want to meet a dad. But this guy just knocked me over. So gentle, so wise, so intelligent, extremely successful, a kid's dream of a father. Just loved Sandy so much. Heart was broken when she called him and said, Dad, I ran away and got married this weekend in Las Vegas. Well, who to? She didn't even know who I was. And this was his little baby. And that he was waiting for this big wedding ceremony and to walk his girl down the aisle. And it was me. He became my dad, too. And I remember this day, I was in Newport Beach, and he says, Now, Mike, I want to tell you, I'm looking forward to coming out and seeing you. I am upset. But ever since Sandy was born, her mother and I have set aside a dowry for her, and so we have stocks and bonds and cash. We've a lot of money and stuff set aside. And when I come out there, I'll give it to you so your kids can get started. I said, well, really? Wow. When he came out, they were there for a week, and we talked, and we had dinner, and we did different things, and nothing ever brought up about that stocks and bonds and money. So we got to the Los Angeles airport, and we're sitting there drinking iced tea, and I said, Mr. Riddick, a couple weeks ago when you called, remember, you said Sandy had a dowry. You said that's cash, stocks, bonds, money, that when she got married, you'd get it. He took a drink of his iced tea. He looked at me, said, yes, I did say that. And he got up and he walked to the airplane. Do you think he saw through you, Mike? Yeah, I think so. We became very good friends, and he was like a father. But what a thought for us fathers to not provoke our children to anger, because they get discouraged. Children get discouraged. And in conclusion, we realize that if we do honor our mother and our father, we have long life because we've honored them. Our days would be long and life would be fulfilled and God would honor us. Because did you know that every day in the United States, every 4 minutes a child is arrested for drug abuse today? Every 5 minutes a child is arrested for a violent crime. And every 2 hours in the United States of America, a child is a homicide victim. According to the Children's Defense Fund, in the United States each day, 13 teenagers commit suicide. 2,833 kids will drop out of school tomorrow, every day of the year. Over 6,000 children will be arrested tomorrow throughout our country, every day. 3,000 children will start smoking every day. And every day, 135,000 kids carry guns to school. Does that look like a nation that has adhered to God's commandment, honor your mother and your father? For in doing so, you will have a long life. Ladies and gentlemen, when we get to heaven, you'll say, right on, Mike, I understand what you're saying now. Be too late then. But what I'm telling you is, you and I are living in the death throes of the United States of America. It has reached its zenith, and it's going down quicker every year. You are the people that are sitting watching it die as the same group of people that watched Nero fiddle as Rome burned. That's what our leadership is doing, fiddling around instead of bringing us to our knees to cry out for God's mercy. Now, you can be an active participant through prayer and really standing up for righteousness, or you can be a slug and sit back and just listen. But unless you will take these commandments to your heart and remember the picture that was planted today, in French, it's beautiful. In English, it's thou shall not. But if you'll understand God's heart, He's trying to give the infrastructure to a brand new nation. And the pivotal point for people, getting along for people, is honoring your mother and your father. And if I can raise my children to honor their mother and to respect me, they're going to raise their children. But if I sit around in my underwear all day drinking beer and smoking cigars and watching porno flicks, you better believe my kids are going to be messed up. And if my wife were to sit around in her bathrobe all day or in negligee and be drinking champagne and watching the soap operas all day, you better believe I'm going to have a bunch of loser daughters. But if I stand for righteousness, my children will stand for righteousness. If I'm a man that prays for my problems, they are going to be people that will see there is a higher power no matter where I go in life, if it's the United States Marine Corps, or if it's the White House, or if it's working for the sanitation department. They know they can pray through problems and God hears and helps. It's the role model that you become. Now, I would wish that 500 of you this morning would say, Mike, we're going to help the kids of this country. Those are devastating and shocking statistics. One building over, an administration office, we have the only Christian computer in the whole world that is getting the number of phone calls it gets every day. Probably more than any other in the whole country from kids from all 50 states. But every day, dozens and dozens of kids call and nobody picks up the phone. These kids are crying. We could be talking to 1 million kids every year. But we get so many thousands and thousands at the end of the year that, oh my gosh, 36% of them didn't get anybody to talk to. How many of them killed themselves when they were calling to help? Or how many went off and had the abortion? Or how many did this or did that? Would you help? All you have to do is say, 2 hours a week, I'll give. I'll do it for a month. I'll do it for 6 months. And the phone call come to your office, to your cell phone, to your beeper, to whatever you want it to come to. It'll come to your house. It'll come in from Texas. The calls will come from Alaska, from Maine, Mexico, all around the place. They're in Canada. And it won't come from Mexico, excuse me. But they'll come here and they're sorted out to the people all around the country that in their homes are taking these calls. We need 500 people to help these kids. And you should consider it. Some of you in your home fellowships would say, why don't we take a shift on Thursday night in our home fellowship or Wednesday and let it go to that house and each one of us just take a turn while the Bible study is going on. These kids need help, you guys. Because if we're on our way down, like Rome was, you better believe this generation that's down here watching Bart Simpson, they have no hope because it's all going to fall on them. And all those little kids underneath them, it's going to fall down. The whole deck of cards is going to fall on them. You and I can be used by God's powerful Holy Spirit to bring this concept of honoring mother and father back to society. We have a lady in the church that is planning two women for each of the 68 schools south of Freeway 8 down in southeast San Diego area just to pray for those students of all those schools. We've got to get to work. The end is almost here. And the family is not being broken up. It has disappeared from the landscape. And we need to give our time and effort so that God can save a remnant. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Father, we're so grateful that you are willing to help us. And this morning we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless our families. We pray for our mothers and our fathers this morning that you would accept our thanks and pray for all those that are suffering from any pain in their lives, Lord, because of their mothers or fathers, that they could bring to themselves the ability to at least honor the position that they held. And we pray you'd work a miracle in their lives. And we pray, Father, for the parents that stand here today, that you would show them the seriousness and the awesomeness and the great blessing of being mommy, daddy, Ab, Em. And may we just take your word to heart and honor it today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a great quote from Billy Graham I found late last night. To you parents, let your home be your parish, your little brood your congregation, your living room a sanctuary, and your knee a sacred altar. God bless you, and thank you for being here. See you this Easter weekend.